Good morning. Thank you for waiting. Welcome to Bank of Pines second Q 2026, first half 26 earnings call. We have with us Rodrigo Pinheiro, Norberto Pinheiro Jr., and Clívia Botelho, members of the bank's executive committee. This event is being recorded, and all participants will only be listening to the teleconference during the Bank of Pines presentation. After the presentation, we'll initiate the questions and answers session for analysts and investors. Participants in the webcast may send questions to Bank of Pines, and they'll be answered at the end of the presentation. Now, I'll give the floor to Mr. Norberto Jr., who will start the presentation. Please, Norberto, you may proceed. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our earnings call to discuss the results for the first half of 2026. We've built a business model that's capable of delivering growth with healthy profitability, adequate capital levels, and diversification across our growth avenues. In collateralized retail, we reached record origination levels across all three segments in which we operate. The evolution of our origination platforms, which are now digital and integrated with a network of partners, allow us to scale while maintaining high quality and to adjust our mix with agility, capturing opportunities in each market. In wholesale, we maintained our selective approach against a macroeconomic backdrop that still calls for caution in corporate lending. We prioritized structured collateralized transactions offering attractive returns, preserving the quality of our portfolio while increasing revenue per client through cross-selling with low additional capital consumption. We also made progress on our productivity agenda. The implementation of AI at scale, both in our business operation and support areas, is already delivering tangible results in process automation, customer experience, and efficiency indicators. We remain confident in the execution of our diversification strategy. We'll now begin with the highlights for period on slide four. We ended the second quarter with a net income of 165.7 million reais, doubling our net income compared with the second quarter of 2025 and growing 10.5% compared with the first quarter of 2026, with an annualized ROE of 37.5%. This result mainly reflects the expansion of our gross financial margin, which reached 626.1 million reais in the quarter, up 162.5% compared with the second quarter of 2025. Three drivers explain this performance. The first is portfolio growth. Our expanded credit portfolio reached 21.8 billion reais in June 2026, up by 40% year-over-year and 10.1% quarter-over-quarter. The second is the expansion of our yield route portfolio from 18.8% to 34.9% of the expanded portfolio over the past 12 months. The third one is operating leverage. Our efficiency ratio declined from 32.4% to 20% in the quarter. Our Basel ratio ended June at 14.3%, with Tier 1 capital at 1.2%, up from 10.2% in June 2025. That reflects our disciplined approach to capital allocation. As for funding, We ended the period with an even more diversified funding base, with total funding of 25.6 billion reais, up 27% year over year, an adequate level to support the expansion of our business. Shareholders' equity ended the period at 1.8 billion reais, up 55% year over year, significantly outpacing the 40% growth in our credit portfolio. On the next slide, we'll present our businesses. The bank operates through two origination fronts integrated into a single platform encompassing services, funding and capital, risk and technology. In collateralized retail, we operate in three segments: INSS, public and private, offering payroll deductible loans, payroll deductible and benefit cards, and FGTS-backed products. In wholesale, we operate selectively while maintaining flexibility in our capital allocation across established sectors that are representative of the Brazilian economy, offering products and services in corporate lending, client desk, capital markets, and investments. Our complementary activities, which cut across both business fronts, include insurance, as well as treasury, funding, and investments, which provides assets and liability management and pricing support to our business areas. Risk, which ensures governance across our processes and technology, data, and artificial intelligence. The current environment of high interest rates and greater selectivity in traditional lending is challenging for corporate credit, but favorable to our business profile. It increases demand for collateralized and payroll deductible lending, precisely the areas where we're concentrating our growth. We are well positioned to serve our clients and continue delivering positive results throughout different macroeconomic cycles. On slide 7, we present our expanded credit portfolio, which reached 21.8 billion reais in June 2026, up 40% compared with the same period last year and 10.1% in the quarter. The period was marked by growth in collateralized retail, particularly the progress of our yield route strategy and our INSS growth strategy, supported by the capital markets, as well as growth in wholesale through structured and collateralized transactions with cross-selling opportunities. As shown in the chart on the left, private payroll loans increased from 2.3 billion reais in June 2025 to 6.5 billion reais in June 2026, while INSS increased from 5.6 billion to 6.1 billion reais, even after the securitizations carried out during the period, demonstrating the strength of our origination channels. Breaking the portfolio down by segment, wholesale accounts for 33% or 7.1 billion reais. Private payroll loans account for 30% or 6.5 billion reais. INSS accounts for 28% or 6.1 billion reais. And public payroll loans and FGTS account for 10% or 2.1 billion reais. This is a balanced portfolio composition that demonstrates our diversification strategy and efficient capital allocation. Below, we present NIM and risk-adjusted NIM, which reached 12.5% and 7.4% respectively in the quarter, compared with 6.2% and 4.8% in 2Q25. Risk-adjusted NIM, which is already net of credit costs, increased by 2.6 percentage points over the past 12 months. Lastly, our over 90 ratio ended June at 2.7%, with wholesale at 0.8% and collateralized retail at 3.6%. During the quarter, the increase in the over 90 ratio was concentrated in private payroll loans. Even considering the robust growth of our portfolio, the delinquency indicator for this product remains considerably below the levels reported by the Brazilian financial system. The increase was nevertheless expected as the vintages mature and remains within the assumptions and due diligence incorporated into our product pricing. Even after incorporating this credit cost, risk-adjusted profitability remains highly attractive, with the bank's risk-adjusted NIM at 7.54%, 2.6 percentage points above the second quarter of 2025. We continue monitoring the portfolio by vintage and continuously refining our eligibility and pricing criteria. We ended June 2026 with 4.6% of the portfolio classified as Stage 3 and a coverage ratio of 105%. This is complemented by our credit recovery mechanisms in wholesale through the enforcement of collateral, and in payroll lending through payroll deductions, FGTS, severance payments, and collection procedures, demonstrating our disciplined approach to credit underwriting. I'll now give the floor to Cleve, who'll discuss our retail portfolio. Thank you, Norberto. Good morning, everyone. Let us begin with our collateralized retail credit portfolio on slide 8. The portfolio ended June 2026 at 14.7 billion reais, up 50.6% compared with the same period last year and 13.7% in the quarter. Our strategy remains clear and focused to drive results through greater diversification and by directing growth towards higher return products, which we call our yield route, comprising the private payroll loan and card portfolios. The yield route, shown at the bottom of the slide, reached 51.8% of the collateralized retail portfolio and 34.9% of the expanded portfolio in June 2026, compared with 18.8% of the expanded portfolio 1 year earlier. We would highlight 4 points for the quarter. First, origination. We achieved record retail origination in the second quarter of 2026, driven by our hybrid presence in the market, combining digital self-service platforms and partnerships involving branches and correspondent banking networks under traditional profit-sharing models, complementing the customer's digital experience. Second, private payroll loans, which reached a portfolio of 6.5 billion reais in June. Since launching this operation, we've made significant progress in refining our eligibility criteria, data infrastructure, and risk and credit discipline for the product. We also believe that the resilience of the rates adopted by Pine continues to provide an excellent risk-return profile for the product. Even after accounting for vintage losses, the product has sufficient margin to absorb a potential slowdown in the macroeconomic environment. Third, INSS. Following the operational normalization observed in June, the segments delivered robust origination during the quarter and ended the period with a portfolio of 6.1 billion reais, even after the securitizations carried out during the period. This is a low volatility asset with structurally low expected losses, and the combination of origination and capital markets allows us to optimize the segment's profitability. Fourth, the combined balance of public payroll loans and FGTS reached 2.1 billion reais, up 8% in the quarter. Within our retail management breakdown, cards totaled 1.3 billion reais, up 6.8%. We continue expanding our operations with more than 130 active agreements while preserving the predictability of our mix. To support the growth, our technology platform continues to evolve. We continue implementing improvements in payroll margin processing and, above all, in our customer experience, ensuring a solid foundation for the future. Lastly, our securitized portfolio balance totals 3.4 billion reais at the end of June 2026, representing 15.4% of our expanded portfolio. INSS payroll loans account for 95% of this balance at 3.2 billion reais, up 46.5% in the quarter. This is a natural asset for this type of structure, given its predictable cash flows, payroll deductions, and structurally low expected losses. For us, securitization is an established channel for capital recycling. By transferring originated portfolios without recognizing gains on the transactions, we release risk-weighted assets and convert past origination into future origination capacity without requiring additional equity capital. As a result, our origination capacity is no longer constrained by the growth of our balance sheet. I'll now give the floor to Rodrigo, who will discuss the evolution of our wholesale portfolio on slide 9. Good morning. Thank you, Cleve. Our wholesale portfolio reached 7.1 billion reais in June 2026, up 22% compared with June 2025. We continue pursuing sustainable portfolio growth, consolidating our multiple origination channel model with a focus on sectors that are highly representative of Brazilian GDP. We serve our clients through customized, structured, and collateralized transactions, generating higher RAROCs. In wholesale, we have a robust and diversified operation serving large companies throughout Brazil through 12 regional offices, ensuring proximity and direct relationships with our clients. This structure allows us to understand the specificities of each market and operate with a high level of precision, which is reflected in the quality of the portfolio presented here. We ended the quarter with 885 economic groups with active relationships, 493 groups with active credit exposure, an average ticket of 4.4 million reais per group, and 91% of the portfolio collateralized. As for the sector distribution of the portfolio shown on the right hand of the slide, we ended the period with a diversified portfolio, highlighting real estate and grain sector, which accounted for 21% and 17% respectively, and the remaining is scattered throughout several different sectors of the economy. Lastly, we continue diversifying our product offering in a more challenging environment for corporate credit. We're not pursuing growth at any cost. We kept the portfolio virtually stable during the quarter, with 91% of transactions collateralized, preserving asset quality and leveraging our lending relationships to increase cross-selling and RAROC per client. We'll now move to slide 10, where we'll discuss cross-selling and services. We have a robust platform that allows us to serve our clients across several fronts: credit, derivatives, and foreign exchange, insurance investments, and capital markets. As we expand our range of products, we increase our cross-selling capabilities and improve profitability per client. Our client desk delivered consistent results, contributing to revenue diversification. This performance reflects increased cross-selling and volatility, particularly in the foreign exchange market. We have an established and growing business providing hedging derivatives and foreign exchange solutions to our clients. In capital markets, Pine originates, structures, and distributes assets through FIGC, CRAs, CRIs, FIAGROs, private credit funds, securitizations, and debentures. We also operate in insurance through Pine Corretora, offering benefits in property and casualty products. The performance of these businesses is reflected in fee and service income, which reached 37.3 million reais in the quarter, up 42.6% compared with the first quarter of 2026, and 63.5 million reais in the first half, up 16.4% compared with the same period last year. This contributes to the diversification of non-credit revenues with low additional capital consumption. I will now turn the call back over to Cleave, who will discuss the evolution of our funding and capital indicators.
Thank you, Rodrigo. We'll start with slide 18, showing our funding volume, which reached 25.6 billion reais in June, up 27% compared with the same period last year and 8% in the quarter. This growth enables us to support the bank's strategy and the expansion of its credit portfolio. We've been successful in diversifying our funding base with a significant presence in financial bills, repurchase agreements, interbank deposits, CDBs, LCIs, LCAs, external funding, and other instruments, combining appropriate duration and cost. This diversification has resulted in a reduction in our funding costs. In terms of maturity, we maintained a position consistent with our conservative asset and liability management strategy. The average maturity of our funding is 28.3 months, with a positive duration gap of 4.8 months. We ended June 2026 with a comfortable liquidity position and 2.2 billion reais in available cash. Lastly, our total Basel ratio reached 14.3% at the end of June, with Tier 1 at 11.2% and Tier 2 at 3.1%. On a year-over-year basis, we highlight the increase in Tier 1 from 10.2% to 11.2%, even as our expanded portfolio grew by 40%. These results reflect the proactive strengthening of our capital position, including the follow-on offering priced in March, as well as the active management of risk-weighted assets. I will now give the floor back to Norberto, who will talk about our financial performance.
Thank you, Cleave. Slide 14, please. During the period, we delivered growth across all operating indicators, reflecting the solid execution of our diversification strategy. We'll begin with the evolution of net income and profitability. We reached a net income of 165.7 million reais in the second quarter of 2026, up 99.6% compared with the same period last year and 10.5% compared with the previous year. Annualized ROE ended the period at 37.5%, 8.5 percentage points above the second quarter of 2025. For the first half, net income reached 315.6 million reais, up 101.7%, with a significant increase in profitability. This is our fifth consecutive year of recurring net income growth, achieved with lower leverage as the improvement was driven by the return on the portfolio, which increased from 2.13% to 3.04%, while the ratio of the expanded credit portfolio to shareholders' equity declined. This results reflects a higher financial margin, increased service revenues, and operating leverage, with the efficiency ratio reaching 20% in the quarter without recognizing any non-recurring gains or gains from the transfer of securitized INSS portfolios. Operating income totaled 266.9 million reais in the quarter, up 95% compared with the second quarter of 2025, and 517.6 million reais in the first half, up 78.5%. At the bottom of the slide, the chart shows the composition of our risk-adjusted revenue. Retail accounted for 77% of our revenues in the quarter and wholesale for 23%. The increase in retail's share compared with the second quarter of 2025 was expected given the portfolio growth presented on the previous slides. This revenue mix and business diversification positions us to navigate and perform across different economic cycles. Next, we'll present our expenses. Personnel and administrative expenses totaled 98.2 million reais in the quarter, up 43% compared with the second quarter of 2025, reflecting investments in technology systems and teams over the past year, as well as the consolidation of Amigo's expenses. Despite this increase, a strong operating leverage brought the efficiency ratio down to 20% in 2026 second quarter, compared with 32.4% in the second quarter of 2025. For the first half, the efficiency ratio improved from 35 to 21%, demonstrating our discipline. In summary, the diversification strategy we've pursued over the past few years continues to strengthen our business and improve the quality of our balance sheet. This is our fifth consecutive year of recurring net income growth with solid profitability, an efficiency ratio of around 20%, adequate capital levels, lower leverage than a year ago, and a portfolio that's 40% larger, more diversified, and generating better risk-adjusted returns. We enter the second half of the year with a stronger balance sheet, a greater origination capacity, and more alternatives for capital recycling. Our priority remains unchanged: to allocate capital where we see the best risk-adjusted returns, maintain disciplined credit underwriting, and continue converting growth into profitability and value creation for our shareholders. Thank you very much for your attention. We'll now open the call for questions and answers. We will now initiate our Q&A session. To send us a question, please use the Q&A tool. First question from Eric Ito from Bradesco BBI. Good morning and congratulations on the results. After the changes, how are the monthly originations? And maybe you can share the margin and adjusted margin expectations looking forward. Please reply. This is Cleve. Thank you, Eric, for your question. You saw that we had an origination,
that was groundbreaking in the second half and with a strong origination in June. In this quarter, 43% of the origination occurred in June. In July, what we saw, Eric, was a decrease due to DataPrev, which went offline, adjusting optionality and guarantees that they were offline for 3.5 days. In June, there's also the school vacation period, and we saw origination drop. Obviously, everybody was making adjustments to their criteria and their pricing given the regulations. And in August, the origination is now going back very strongly. And after some readjustments, internal readjustments, the good news is that this is coming back with a yield and volume, a level that's similar to those of April. So we're changing the criteria. Origination keeps strong in August with a level of with a rate level that protects us. So our expectations risk-adjusted expectations are that it will increase because, as I just mentioned, if we adjust origination very strongly in June, the strong origination in June was responsible for the decrease of the risk-adjusted line. It would be very similar to 7.7. The 7.4 is similar to 7.7, and we're seeing that the gross will go up with levels closer to 13. That's what we see, and we're almost halfway through the third quarter. Thank you, Cleve. The next question is from Pedro Leduc from Itaú BBA. Cost of risk appears to be rising faster than the portfolio. How much of this is due to temporary delays, and how much is related to origination being more back and loaded in the quarter? Also, regarded risk-adjusted NIMs, should we expect some adjustment due to slowdown in origination at the end of the quarter? Good morning, Leduc. I was telling Eric, obviously, origination, a very high origination in June in private was similar to the total of the other payroll loans. 42% of the quarter was in June. So that led to the risk-adjusted NIM. If normalized, it would be not 7.4, but 7.7, and also the gross NIM. So this mismatch of origination propagates a gross NIM for the third quarter that's higher, given these record-breaking numbers in the origination of June. Thank you, Cleve. The next question is from Ricardo Buchpiguel from BTG. Could you help us understand how much of the higher NPL we saw this quarter is related to operational issues in private payroll loans. And does it make sense to expect this to decline as the share of newer vintages with already reflect which already reflects more fine-tuned operations become more significant? Could you also explain what the coverage ratio you report would look like if you included the benefits from credit life insurance associated with private payroll loans? And do you expect this coverage ratio to increase over the coming quarters? Thank you, Ricardo. This is Norberto. Well, Ricardo, we estimate that 40% of private payroll NPL is linked to operational issues. As we know, we've been in the product since its inception. And in our administration, we could break this product down into three stages, basically. One was the beginning with the release of the product, where we found the market with a lot of space and and depth, and also the deadlines were shorter. If you look at the performance of these vintages, which are totally mature, and I'm looking at the performance of the first five vintages, we see an ROE dispersion between 40 to 100%. That was a phase where all of the vintages were basically already mature, and there was an excellent risk return ratio. This phase of the product also allowed us to initiate the construction of this relevant database of proprietary data. Then we moved over to a second stage, which was a stage of testing, where we tested clusters. We also tested channels. We tested criteria profiles. And this vintage led to a dispersion that was even greater in terms of ROE, but an upwards dispersion with a bit more elevated ROEs, a dispersion between 80 and also vintages that reached 150 in terms of ROE. And there are vintages that are still maturing. That's 5 months later. And after last four vintages, we are in the third stage, where we have a lot more scale. We have a data performance history, and I think that the operating routines are much more fine-tuned, and we have the capacity to continually review the scores, eligibility, underwriting, and to actively price. We are also, in addition to that, refunding the portfolio much more accurately for the more recent vintages. And obviously, they're not fully mature yet. We're looking at ROEs between 85 and 130%. I think the most important aspect for all of you is that we're evolving in our competitive advantages in the products. In the beginning, it was much more related to the fact that we were pioneers and we were starting ahead and having access to the best margins and shorter deadlines. And now the competitive advantages are much more structural, so to speak, because we have a lot more scale and a lot more quality in origination, a lot more proprietary information, a lot more learning capacity of underwriting. And obviously, we've had a lot of discipline in terms of pricing, sustaining the rates and pricing. We've seen, we experimented with a certain volatility in the rates due to migration rates. They went to a little under four, and they went to numbers above that in the more recent vintages. So we're quite comfortable with the operation and we intend to keep on growing. We intend to keep on diversifying our portfolio, diversifying by clusters. There's a part of your question which is about coverage. We'll keep on provisioning the portfolio in a disciplined and conservative way. This year, we're going to have an R&D expense of approximately R$1 million, something around that. So we'll probably maintaining the coverage rates for the products. And we truly expect that operating issues will evolve. Cleve, what's the floor? Well, Ricardo, as we always mentioned, this product is not digital at all. From the doors in, we've been with the product for 16 months. So we've evolved a lot in the teams. You need specialized teams. You need to be able to understand the seasonality of the liquid pay, the net payroll. To reprofile, you also need to understand the leaves, like the maternity leave. More than 50% of women go on maternity leaves, and you also need to have adequate rules for charging the CNPJs. And we evolved a lot in those regards. That's also a differentiator. This product, well, aside from incumbents, which have relationships with customers, for this product, differentiators are extremely important. This differentiator of having had an internal learning, and that's something that our teams have had. Thank you, Ricardo. The next question is from Daniel Vaz from Safra. Congratulations on the results. I would like to understand if the risk-adjusted line is expected to see a small drops given more mature portfolios. Otherwise, how do you see the trajectory for 2026 and 2027? There's a second question. I understand that the possibility of adding collaterals to the payroll loans is much more relevant for the Pine scope of customers, but has there been any type of capture in this group of clients in June versus July? Thank you for your question, Danielle. About NIM and risk-adjusted NIM. As we said, I think the origination in the second quarter was quite strong. It was quite strong in the last month. 43% of the origination occurred in last month, and that's positively impacted our gross and risk-adjusted NIM. Moving forward, we see a very resilient NIM. Upwards from what we saw in the second quarter. We see the gross NIM going up towards 13, a little over 13 actually, and the risk-adjusted NIM will also see an opening in that regard for 2026 and for 2027. We see we're thinking about changing the mix of the bank's portfolio, which is quite relevant. Even if you consider a securitized portfolio, the private payroll loans plus the cards portfolio already account for approximately 30% of the total portfolio of the bank. We have these curves in our presentations and the yields that represents 34% of the retail portfolio. So this mix adjustment makes our NIM very resilient. Thank you. Well, Daniel, concerning the optionality and collaterals, we haven't been doing much. It's not our profile. Several workers that did FGTS withdrawals and anticipation, they're prevented from using the optionality and to us, that's irrelevant. And I'm referring to the optionality collateral or collateral optionality. Next question from Eric Quito, Bradesco BBI. Stage three coverage is currently around 105%. How do you expect this metric to evolve going forward? And could you share how the main delinquency indicators are trending at the margin? Could you also provide an update on capital and what you consider to be a comfortable capital level? How do you expect this ratio to evolve going forward? Thanks, Eric. As I said previously, we've been allocating provision in the balance sheet much more than our provision expenses. So by looking at stage three coverage, it will remain above 100%. And that's in line with what's been reported for the last quarter. About capital. We did the follow-on recently. We ended the period at 11.2% for Tier 1 and 14.30 for total Basel. And we are forecasting to end the year at 15% for total Basel. And we're comfortable with this level of Tier 1 and total Basel. Total Basel above 14 and level 1 or Tier 1 above 12. Thanks for the question, Eric. Next question comes from Leonardo Paula. Good morning. The increased delinquency from the last quarter to this quarter, is it expected to intend to continue increasing the credit portfolio in this segment at the same speed? Will the provisions keep on increasing quarter after quarter? And still about the private payroll, do you have any strategy to continue maintaining this profitability if the government imposes new limits for the interest rates? Well, Leonardo, thank you for your question. We like looking at the ROE of vintages because it concentrates the costs of credit, costs of funding, and product efficiency. And we've been seeing with everything we've told you, our evolution, our selectivity, the ROE has grown in the last vintages. So the ROE of private has been in the range of 65 with 140. And currently, it's above 100. We like looking at that. You can't simply look at delinquency. It's a quadrant of rates, delinquency, funding costs, efficiency of the product and the routines. And those about the speed. And you asked a great question. First, as we said, We want to keep on diversifying. We see different pathways of growth. The public payroll loans are clearly an avenue. And it's up to us to have the allocation that allows us to maintain diversification. You will not see the private above 40% of the total expanded portfolio of Pine Bank. There'll always be different weighted allocations. And also, Leonardo, we don't simply want to grow for the sake of growing. It's all about a combination. Thank you. Next question from Pedro Calixto. Good morning and congratulations on the results. Looking ahead, can we expect ROE to remain sustainably above 35%? Also, how does the bank assess the outlook for delinquency in private payroll loans? Thank you. Thank you, Pedro. We've been seeing these 35 plus moving forward. That's what we've been saying. But we do not work with the assumptions that a specific quarterly ROI will get repeated. We consider that from a structural perspective, the engines to produce ROE at the bank have changed. That's something that we've been talking about for a few quarters now. In the case of the last quarter, we delivered a 37.5% in ROE with a lower leverage in the balance sheet. When you do the portfolio divided by the PR compared with the previous quarter, we had a lower leveraging and a return on the assets that increased. Our efficiency ratio is super controlled. We did not have non-recurring results. The bank is increasingly recurring. Like Cleve said, we didn't mention the results of securitizations. This results will come over time. We don't usually give ROE guidances, but again, we understand that the capacity to generate ROE structurally has changed moving forward due to all the reasons. So we've been talking about changes to the mix, the NIM resilience, efficiency, and the discipline in the capital allocation. Thank you. Thank you. Next question is from Fernando Gomes. Congratulations on the results. Could you provide more details on private payroll loan originations? What is the portfolio origination rate, duration, average ticket, and so on, and how delinquency has been trending? Good morning, Fernando, and thanks for the question. Generally speaking, rates between 4 and 4.5, duration from 36 to 60 PMTs, depending on the score, average ticket around, when you have a new operation, around 3,000 $1,000 when you do a re-fin. It's upwards of $5,000, and the vintage history has been maintained. As we mentioned several times, you expect 100, you receive 85, and there's a gradual increase or a gradual improvement. Thank you, Cleve. Pedro Atra, good morning and congratulations on the results. Could you please compare the evolution of delinquency in the private and the Pine private payroll loan portfolio and that of the rest of the market? And if the difference is relevant, could you explain the main reasons behind that? Thanks for the question, Pedro. Our portfolio has been performing better than the average of the Brazilian financial system's average. If I'm not mistaken, the last numbers were 8.6%, and we see an over of approximately half of this number for our portfolio, a little more than half of that number for our portfolio. And the reasons are many. The products we talked about today has many variables. For one, there's the eligibility and selection process. And also from day one, we started to operate with a loss of job insurance. We also were one of the first to implement the re-employment routine. So we've been performing better than the market as a whole. And as you know, we also went to the board with the protection of the loss of job insurance and the penetration index that was quite high, which also helped us in moving forward. We think we'll have a protection that will be provided by the good payers. We have more than 600,000 CNPJs and more than 1,700,000 in portfolio of individual employees. There are CNPJs that have an underwriting that's better than the others and that transfer better than the others. And this is a scoring index that is really helpful. So the reef financings of good payers will help protect us even better, and we intend to accelerate the refinancing processes. Thank you, Cleve and Roberto. We've reached the end of our Q&A session. Thank you all for participating in Banco Pine's results call. Thank you for your participation, and we wish you a great day. Thank you.